Have you ever thought about what your cabin crew does on a layover? Probably not. You're busy checking weather, reviewing your plates, maybe grabbing a meal, but at the airline level, what happens between flights matters. And Japan Airlines just made that crystal clear. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Japan Airlines, one of the most respected carriers in the world, has issued a blanket ban on cabin crew drinking alcohol during layovers before return flights. This came after a flight delay was directly tied to a crew member's alcohol consumption during downtime. And before you think this is just an internal HR story out of Tokyo, stick with me, because this touches something every professional aviator and every passenger should care about. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story, AviationSoul.com. So here's what happened. According to reporting from Aerotime, a Japan Airlines cabin crew member consumed alcohol during a layover and was not fit for duty when it came time to operate the return leg. That caused a delay. JAL's response was not a warning, not a memo. It was a policy change. No cabin crew member may consume alcohol during any layover preceding a return flight. Full stop. Now, if you fly in the United States, you're already familiar with the Federal Aviation Administration's bottle-to-throttle rule. That's 14 CFR Part 91.17. No person may act as a crew member of a civil aircraft within 8 hours after consuming alcohol, or while under the influence, or with a blood alcohol concentration of 0.04 or greater. And that applies to everyone on the flight deck and in the cabin. 8 hours, minimum. Most major U.S. carriers go further. Many mandate 12 hours. Some push it to 24 for flight crew. But here is what is different about what JAL just did. They did not adjust a time window. They eliminated the activity entirely for the duration of a layover. That is a fundamentally different approach. It does not say you can drink if you stop early enough. It says you cannot drink at all if you have a return flight to operate. And that raises an interesting question for the rest of the industry. Is the bottle-to-throttle clock enough? The science is pretty clear on this. Alcohol affects people differently based on body weight, metabolism, fatigue, hydration, altitude exposure, and a dozen other variables. 8 hours might be perfectly fine for one person and completely insufficient for another. The FAA's 8-hour rule is a floor, not a ceiling, and the agency has said as much, but floors become defaults and defaults become habits. For those of you flying Part 121, your airline almost certainly has stricter company policy than the FAA minimum. But the enforcement of those policies varies, and the culture around layover behavior varies even more. Some crews are disciplined about rest and recovery, others treat a layover like a vacation night, and most of the time, nothing goes wrong. Until it does. The JAL incident is notable not because it was catastrophic. The flight was delayed, not crashed. Nobody was hurt. But that is exactly the kind of event that exposes a systemic vulnerability. If one delay traces back to crew alcohol consumption, how many near misses never make it into a report? How many times has a crew member shown up technically legal but operationally compromised? Here is what you need to know if you're a Part 121 pilot or a cabin crew member. Your company's alcohol policy is almost certainly more restrictive than the federal minimum, and you should know exactly what it says. Not roughly exactly, because the consequences of a violation are career-ending. We are talking certificate action, termination, and, in some cases, criminal charges. The FAA does not play around with this, and neither do the airlines. And if you are a general aviation pilot, do not tune this out because you think it only applies to the airlines. The same 8-hour rule applies to you under Part 91. And in general aviation, there is no dispatcher checking on you. There is no crew scheduling verifying your fitness. It is entirely on you every single time. I have talked to pilots over the years who swear by a personal 24-hour rule. No alcohol within 24 hours of any planned flight. Others stick to 12. Some are comfortable with 8. I'm not here to tell you which number to pick. I'm here to tell you that whatever number you pick, you need to be honest with yourself about whether it is actually enough, because the only person who suffers the consequences of getting it wrong is you, your passengers, and everyone on the ground underneath your flight path. What JAL did is culturally significant, especially in Japan where after-work drinking is deeply embedded in professional life. For the airline to say, no, not on a layover, not at all, that took institutional courage. It is a signal that crew fitness is not negotiable and that the margins we build into safety rules exist because we need them, not because they are conservative. There is a broader trend here worth watching. Airlines globally have been tightening alcohol policies for flight crew over the past decade. Several incidents in the United States, Europe, and Asia have driven that. You may remember cases where pilots were pulled from cockpits at the gate after failing alcohol checks. Those are the ones that made the news. The ones that did not make the news are the ones that should concern us more. The International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, recommends member states adopt what they call a zero-tolerance approach to alcohol for flight operations, but ICAO issues recommendations, not mandates. Implementation is up to each country's civil aviation authority, and the standards vary widely around the world. Japan Airlines just set a new benchmark. Whether other carriers follow remains to be seen, but the conversation has shifted. It is no longer just about how many hours before a flight. It is about whether the activity belongs in the duty cycle at all. For those of you listening who fly professionally, this is worth a conversation in your crew room. Not a lecture, a conversation. What is your personal standard? Does it match the science? Does it account for fatigue, time zones, and the reality of how your body actually processes alcohol? Because the regulation gives you a number, but your body does not read the FARS. This story came out of AeroTime's reporting on the gel policy change. You can find more at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Fly sharp and know your limits before you test them.